5x15 presents Catlin Moran at the Women's Equality Party at the Methodist Hall, London, recorded by Radio Gorgeous, January 2016.
You're fat, you're failing, you can't do this. Imagine if those were not our inner voices. Imagine if we had someone positive inside us. Imagine if every woman's inner voice was a drawing free on a red cane. Darling, you're doing so well today. You absolutely must treat yourself to a nap. You can't do everything at once. You absolutely should wear that mad silver cape and invent a sex robot. You are a powerful and brilliant woman. I think most of us have, at some point in our lives, felt that we are not normal. That we have the wrong bodies, or that we think the wrong way, or that the way we speak is not suitable for the place we are in, or that to express our thoughts would lead to people laughing unkindly, or simply dismissing us out of hand. I suspect we have all worried at some point that we take up too much space. We hunch over, we cross our legs, we walk quickly and hurriedly down streets, saying sorry, 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 over and over again. We make self-deprecating comments all the time to make ourselves smaller. We restrict what we eat to make ourselves smaller. Sometimes we take medication or drink to make ourselves smaller. Like a sad Alice in Wonderland drinking her potion to shrink. We take these things to make our emotions smaller, to make our demands smaller, to make our desperation smaller, and ultimately to make our power smaller. And that is not a natural thing. That is not an innate masochism, as I have been told before, in women. Women were not born to be lesser or smaller. This isn't how the Big Bang was supposed to play out. This isn't physics. It is, instead, part of a 4,000-year history of women being forced to be smaller. I hope very much that you got to see the recent documentary series, The Ascent of Woman, written by Dr. Amanda Foreman. I believe it to be simply one of the most astonishing and revolutionary shows of the last 10 years. Because here, in forensic global detail, Dr. Foreman showed us the untold history of women. The sad and enraging history of women. For, once it seems, women were equal to men. They must have been, because as she showed, some unknown cultural shift 4,000 years ago seemed to provoke a fury against women across the world. Dr. Foreman showed us the first ever anti-female rules being created in 2340 BC in Sumeria, which started to curtail women for the first time. How they must not now speak in public against a man, or they would have their teeth smashed in with a brick. How they must cover themselves. How they could now be owned. You could see prejudice and misogyny being assembled, piece by piece, rule by rule, precedent by precedent. And however distressing and enraging it was to watch this program, to see a trail of female destruction being walked over 4,000 years, the misery, waste, and stupidity of this, it was also oddly liberating. Because it proved that men and women were not born into this unequal relationship. This isn't nature at work. Men did not inherit the earth. Instead, we have the dates and times when women were made unequal. These were decisions. These were social constructs, and they were just ideas. And once you know that, you are, oddly, free. Because if an idea that women should be second-class citizens, should be owned, should be silenced, can become so powerful that it dictates history for the next 4,000 years, then another idea can come along and replace it, just as totally, just as forcibly, and just as revolutionarily. And that is what I mean by women's disadvantage or perversely an advantage. Because we are that idea. Every woman in the room now is doing a million things that would have been impossible 200 years ago, 100 years ago, 50 years ago. Having an education, having a profession, having control of her fertility, having ownership with herself, being able to connect with other women and form networks of power, to be able to share information with any other woman in the world, to own property, to educate her children, to be able to write an enormously long blog post about how much she fancies Benedict Cumberbatch. That's a not be stoned to death doing so. Each of these advancements were built piece by piece also, with legislation and laws women like you and me conceived of, campaigned for, and won. Every woman in here is an incremental undoing of a wrong, and we can be the incremental undoing of a million more. We can advance the next generation. We can live with the idea, we can live the idea of female power, progress, advancement, and normality. Because that is the key thing in the decades to come. Normality. Powerful women being normal. We have so many brilliant, inspiring female pioneers out there. But what we notice over time is that they're mainly just that. Trailblazers. Pioneers. They tend not to be the first wave of an onslaught of women. Instead, they rocket up the ranks, trailing sparks, and then, more often than not, they remain on their own. They continue being surrounded by men without a team or a den mother to cheer them on. They are the sole fields in a room full of bros. They are loaded with all the wearisomeness of being a novelty. And they are furious and exhausted from having to explain to men what other women have known all along. And that's why something like this is so important, why this party is so important. Women being together, being used to being in a room together, looking each other in the eye and going, although I may disagree with you on who the most fanciful member of One Direction is, it is clearly Harry Styles, please stop with your zany madness. We have the ability to do something astonishing and permanent together. As a young feminist, I'm ashamed to say I did not believe this. I didn't believe in the power of female networks. I'm treated equally by men and women, I thought. I'm not weak. I didn't need the patronage of women. Then I got to 30 with two children and noticed something, that however much I had been praised and appreciated by men, every time I'd actually been promoted, it was without exception by a woman. And a woman who had ignored my womanly protests of, I don't think I'm ready, I can't handle this. And who had replied, balls, of course you can. I'm going to give you power now, don't you dare let me down. I realised that however much I believed, and I really did want to believe that men treat women equally, they don't. Because they can't. And it's not through spite or misogyny or hatred or wrong. Because I had been brought up by a million brilliant women who had seen something in me that men would simply not have looked for. The women had seen that I would be useful to other women. And that is something that is simply impossible for a man to see. Because he will not know what has not yet been done. He doesn't know this mad hunger in us to change the world. He doesn't know the things we dream, the things we crave, the things we're starved of, how bored we are, how ignored we are, how we sit there with our wages going, I cannot find a film, or a dress, or a holiday, or a hero, or a politician that I love. In the neoliberal market economy democracy driven by novelty and innovation, why have they still not invented more dresses with sleeves? That is why I am a founding member of the Women's Equality Party. That is why I am here today, even though there's a repeat of that episode, Don't Tell the Bride Who Makes a Jump Out of a Plane. I do this because I want one day for all women to feel normal. That's all we want. We don't want to be superheroes or pioneers, because those are unreasonable, exhausting things. We just want to be normal. We want to be, and this is the ultimate aim of feminism, I don't know if you knew, to be as dim, fat, deluded, average, happy, secure, and relaxed as men. True equality is the day that our daughters are handed the half of the world, and it is only half of the world, not the whole world, just the half of the world that is theirs at birth, and they need say nothing more than, thank you. I will enjoy my life. I will pursue my joy, and I will attend the three strict rules of feminism. One, all people are equal. All people are equal. Two, don't be a dick. And three, there is no third rule. The above comprehensively cover everything. We'll be right back.
For more information, go to womensequality.org.uk, because equality is better for everyone. Brought to you by 515. 5 speakers, 15 minutes. 5by15.com. And recorded by RadioGorgeous.com, giving women a voice.